Welcome to the Hoof and Fang Podcast. I'm Kirk Greaves.
And I'm Maz Medix.
And we are back for another week of conversation remotely. Still getting used to this remote thing.
Yeah, I'm getting there. It's weird because I'm used to just being able to just plop down and start chatting. Now I've got like all this equipment. I've got to double check and make sure my stuff's all plugged in. I'm like, I miss the
You
day.
Have to do all the things I've been doing for you for a year and a half? Is that what we're complaining about?
Yeah.
Usually I just walk in and it's all set up, but I just sit down and I start talking.
Yeah. Now I got to like plug in a camera.
God, you are the man in our relationship, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I have to admit something to you.
Okay.
So my new podcasting area is where you used to sit at that desk. It's cold in here.
Oh my God. So was I not crazy? Is it just actually cold?
It is actually a little colder in here.
Huh. I just thought I was a weenie.
No, I think part of it is that, well, so nobody else will know this, but like our building is sort of built into a hill and we're on the ground floor and your part of the office is further into the hill than mine. So
makes
I
sense.
Think there's just more ground cover on the outside. And like, since we're coming out of winter, I think the ground will like still has that like frost in it for a long time.
Gotcha.
It's cold. Like it's colder in here than... Like when I come in here, I get uncomfortable and I'm like, what the fuck?
I'm a little just like, I feel very vindicated because I often was just freezing and had my heat up all the way, had the little snuggy thing that you got me. And I was like, my legs were always so cold.
Yeah.
I was like,
man, they're close to this cold ass wall. I think it's the wall. I think it's because it's half underground and it's just cold.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll give you that one.
Okay.
Sometimes, though, as I was walking through, it still felt like a sauna in here. And I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. Well, I think partly that room is very cold. And partly I guess I can't handle the cold very well, just being from Texas for as long as I have been. So
you should have just put the space heater under your desk.
I thought about doing that a few times, but I was like, I think I'm going to like fry my skin if I do that. Cause I'm like, during the winter months, like my skin would get so dry. And I was like, I think my legs would just turn into like pieces of bacon if I do that. Yeah.
I'm considering having it point at the wall.
Well, that's
smart. Just like ambient heat.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah, now that we've covered that on the podcast, and I'm sure everybody cares.
This is what they tune in for.
Right.
Which way do we point our space heaters when our feet are cold?
It is, yeah, no, but I will admit it is actually kind of chilly in this office. So what have you been working on?
So I started reworking the Reuben and Zhang story. Pretty excited about that. Like I actually did the thing that I think a lot of authors do, where I went back through and actually read some of the old stuff. Mm-hmm. And I went into it being like, I'm going to scrap everything because this is going to be crap. And when I read it, I was like, oh, actually, I could salvage most of this stuff, which is great. So I went into it ready to be like, wow, I'm terrible, because that's usually what I do. I go in and just erase stuff. But I was like, actually, I think I was kind of vibing with the situation. So I was able to mine a lot of it, which is great. So now I have a good head start for like at least the beginning. And I've got a really structured outline, and like Jess has been helping me. So yeah, it's been going great. Like I didn't knock out as much as I wanted to this weekend because we were still kind of just getting the house in order. Mm-hmm. But for the rest of the week, I've got scheduled like writing time now. Right. So from Wednesday through Saturday, I know what my writing schedule is going to be, which is new since we've been here, right? I'm like, okay, I know what my routine is now. And I'm like so excited to kind of like figure out, or not even figure out, but like fire off on the schedule that I have planned for the rest of the week. So it's good stuff. It's like, it's reigniting everything. Like I just can't wait to just get my hands back into it.
What is this outline you speak of? I don't think I've ever heard you use that word before.
Yeah, it's a new thing I'm trying because Jess yelled at me a lot for years. So I'm doing a full outline for this. And I even am going as far as like in Dabble, you can like break it down by scenes. So I read a book. Oh, I'll look it up and then we'll see if we can add it to the show notes, because I actually recommend this for authors. It was like a craft book that's like how to write faster. And I usually hate those because I think they're kind of hacky. But the piece of advice that was in there that actually resonated with me was, and it's very stupid because of how obvious it is, but before you start writing, jot down what's just going to happen in the scene. It doesn't have to be a full outline, just like a sentence or two of like, he needs to go, or so-and-so is going to walk into the bar, meet this guy, they're going to get in a fight or whatever. And so now your brain's kind of ready for that scene. So you're not second guessing or trying to build as you're writing. So you're kind of, you kind of prime yourself to go into it. And it's actually really, really helpful. So I've gotten in the habit now of, before I start writing, whatever scene I'm working on, I'm like, this is what's happening in this scene. And I don't care about anything else that's happening in the chapter, the next scene, anything. I'm just concentrating on that scene. And the words flow a lot faster. So it's one of those simple duh things. Yeah, right? But like I used to just be like, okay, I know what the book is, so I'm just going to jump in and start writing. But if you just take that little piece out and isolate it and really just nail down what needs to happen, it kind of, at least for me, it makes my brain like, okay, we're going to just laser in on this and knock it out. So
yeah,
super helpful. I recommend it. It's great.
That's good. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. I am working on Twilight Mages, Elliot Grayson's series.
Love.
And I was looking forward to it because it's the third book in a series. And you know how I talk about, like, once you're further into a series, you don't have to prep it as much.
Yeah. Were you wrong?
Well, so what happened this time is that the third book in the series takes place in a totally different kingdom, and there are no crossover characters.
God.
And
so you'd have to, there are tons of prep.
So many names in this that are like not normal, like they're fantasy names.
Right.
And the author did provide pronunciations for some of them, which is great, except they're not instinctually how I would pronounce them. So I keep having to go back and like remind myself, because like I look at the word and I think one thing and I'm like, if I think that, I'm probably wrong. And then I go and check it, and like 80% of the time it was like, yep, I was wrong. So like I haven't fully adopted the new lingo yet.
Yeah.
You know? But then there's also like dozens of other names and places for which they, I guess they didn't think I would need a pronunciation. So then you think, okay, well then that must be one of two things. One, it's either just more phonetic that I can just kind of say, look at the word and say it how I believe it is spelled. Or I can use the references from the other words to like figure out what sounds make, like what letters make what sounds in these made up names. And so it's just been a real slow start to these, to this book. Cause I'm like, oh shoot. It's cause it's, yes, it's the third book in a series, but it turns out it's basically like a brand new world. Like I still know the author and I know the author's voice. And I know like the tone of these books, but the actual,
actual literal names,
literal words and names and places are like, oh God, I have to keep stopping to go check things. And this author, it's Elliot Grayson. I already said the author's name. Elliot, in this book, I don't know if they got like a thesaurus calendar for Christmas when they were writing this, but they are putting in a bunch of words I've never seen before. They are real English words. I am learning them along with the production of the book, but I'm like, wow, these are, and I read a lot. I feel like I have a fairly extensive vocabulary and I know how to pronounce a lot of things that people don't. For me to be like, I've never seen this word before. I don't know what that means.
It's like SAT vocabulary.
Yeah, kind of. I was like, I need to go look up what this means and also how to say it, because I don't know what she's saying.
Wow.
So yeah, it's become like a challenge, and it's like, which is great. I like mental challenges. I like exploring new words and worlds and making up things. Like that's all part of the creative process. It's fun. I just wasn't expecting it this week.
Right.
On book three. And like I had read the first couple chapters to prep, but it wasn't until I went and looked at the document that's provided by the production company where they said right up top, like, this book shares no things with anybody, that I was like, oh, wait. And then I saw that they'd provided a file of pronunciations just for book three. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, oh. So yeah, a whole bunch of stuff happens in later chapters that apparently, and like a whole bunch of people are introduced. And I was like, well, and here I was thinking it was just going to be another one of these Twilight Age romances.
Jump back into like an old hat kind of situation.
Yep.
Now it's a new fancy hat.
New fancy
hat. Can't pronounce.
Yep.
I wonder, like, when you're talking about like the vocabulary being different, like more elevated, I guess. I wonder at a certain point if it becomes so unfamiliar for like a general audience that it kind of breaks the immersion. Because I love learning new vocabulary mm-hmm. words, especially if I'm reading a book. I'm like, oh, I love how that flows into the sentence, or I've never heard that or whatever. But if it's so many new words that I've never heard before, I wonder at a certain point if you're just like, what the fuck is this book? Like, I'm right. not smart enough for this fantasy novel. You know what I mean?
I mean, like, certainly that can happen. And they usually yeah. call it literary fiction.
Okay.
But I mean, in this case, I think it's sprinkled in enough that it's fine. But I do like, that's my job as the narrator, is to make sure that the listener understands the context, even if they've never heard that word before.
Gotcha.
And some of these, I guarantee they will not know how to spell it. Based on how it's said out loud, it's going to be one of those things where, like, sometimes you know how to spell a word, but you've never said it out loud. You'd be surprised how it's said out loud. And other times you've heard a word a million times, but you have no idea how it's spelled. And
so, yeah, that's more my thing. Like, I'll finally see something spelled out and I'm like, oh my God, is that how you spell that? Why is there an X yeah. in there? You know, that kind of just,
yeah.
English is weird.
Right. Yeah. So that's what's going on this week. And then we continue with contemporary romance next week.
Fun.
Going back to the world of Lindsay and her single dads, which are awesome. Always great fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, I love Ian Lindsay. She's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And good sense of humor on her as well as like Elliot. Like, I do like the way that she writes her characters. They're all usually pretty snarky and have a good sense of humor and lots of sarcasm, which love it's that. Like, I was like, they hired the right guy.
Yeah. Yeah. You could definitely portray that like, very well.
I can do that. Yeah, that's okay for me to say. I don't know that you should be.
Listen, you can nail sarcasm. It's. I think why our friendship works, because we're both just sarcastic shits. So that's how it is.
So yeah, it's that's all very good. And I love that she writes single POV.
Love that.
Which is so rare these days.
It for really the romances. Is. Yeah, so, it really is.
I love it.
I kind of miss it. Like, it had been so long since I've listened to or read a single POV. So when I got into the Spectral Files, I was like, mm-hmm. I forgot how fun this could be to just go from one character the whole time and just the unreliable, ridiculous narrator kind of right. thing. So it's fun.
And it is, I think it adds a complexity to the relationship as well, because yeah. you, the reader, don't know what the other person's thinking.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So it's more like real life. Like,
I
you
see
have
the
no
appeal
idea.
Of both, but I certainly, for logistical reasons, prefer the single POV, because you don't have to worry about like making them distinct if you're reading the book by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't for have sure. to have a co-narrator.
Yeah, love that.
If you don't read it by yourself. So
Yeah. That's awesome.
So that's what I got going on. Coming up over on Patreon, nothing. So we wrapped up the first season of the Nickelodeon series of Animorphs, reacting to those videos that came out this last Wednesday. So we have paused billing on our Patreon. So if you're a subscriber, no, you're not getting charged from April 15th to May 15th, anywhere mm-hmm. in that area, as we take a little pause to figure out what kind of content we're going to do there. Now that we're remote and schedules mm-hmm. have changed, we just got to figure out what we're going to do. So to give us a little bit of time, we're just pausing for a month and we'll let you know when we're coming back.
Yeah, exactly.
At least a month, I should say.
Yeah, at least a month. We'll play it by ear as we typically do. And everybody's so cool and supportive when we usually have to take a break. Everyone's so cool about it. So we thank you for letting us be human and reassess and figure things out.
Yeah. So over on Patreon, and like, we'll still release the episodes through Patreon. You'll still mm-hmm. get updates through Patreon. It's just, since we're not currently producing any original content for that side of things,
mm-hmm.
that's what we're going to do. As we have said before, if you are craving some more me, Queers and Quills
mm-hmm.
is going on all the fucking time.
Yes. Yeah. You've got a lot of episodes.
3 episodes a week right now in April. We will switch to daily episodes starting in May, because there's just that many attending authors and narrators to get through. So go check those episodes out. Do not make me make that podcast for nothing, guys.
Yeah, please.
Go listen. And the conversations are fun. So at least go cherry pick a few of authors that you like, who you want to hear more from. I do feel like I'm getting authors to come on this podcast who do not appear on podcasts regularly.
That's cool.
Because many of them have told me that, like, oh, I don't usually do podcasts because they make me nervous. But like,
yeah,
wanting to like get ahead of the Queers and Quills thing. Like they saw the value in it. So yeah.
Well, so
there, there might be names there that you don't hear from or see very often. So
yes, yes.
Yeah.
We're the ones, or you, I have nothing to do with any of these. I'm just along for the ride. But yeah, you were able to coax like more elusive authors into chatting. I think that's so cool.
Yeah. I didn't work that hard. They just kind of saw the value in it. So that's good.
Good.
But yeah, so that's that is also going on, which is another reason why we are taking a break from Patreon stuff, because I have to get all that shit done. I'm also 3D printing all of my giveaway items for Queers and Quills.
Yeah, how's that going? Are they everything working?
It's coming along. The main piece of everything is done, and now I'm doing all the little things that attach to it, and the little things are actually giving me more trouble than the big things.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they just not clicking into place?
It's the actual writing on it. And also they keep flinging off because I think they're smaller. There's not enough weight to hold them down. So I've had to mess with the settings, and I think I've got it dialed in now, but every time I think that, something changes. So Queers and Quills coming up. I'll let you in on the secret of what it is I'm making for that, dear listeners, at some point in the future. But today, as we record this, it is tax day in America.
Yes.
At least tangentially. We've tried to go in and do something with our taxes, and the button's not there currently. And we emailed our accountant and was like, hi, this thing that we want isn't there. And he's like, you know, it's the funniest thing. I've never had that happen before. And this year I've had 7 people email me saying this option that we want to take advantage of is not available on the website. And so he was just like, well, I guess keep checking.
Yeah, that's all you can do. I guess maybe they're overwhelmed.
I think this is the government efficiency that we've been hearing so much about.
Yeah.
In action. And it's I have a feeling that has a lot to do with why things are not working as well as they have in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Over at the good old IRS. So hopefully everything's in line. But literally last night I told John, I was like, take screenshots of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we can prove that we were trying to do this and your website would not let us. So, yeah. But everybody knows that only 2 things in life are certain: death and taxes. But if we made a podcast about taxes, that would be boring AF. Some people probably already turned us off for that last
few sentences. No, we're not doing this.
So instead, we're going to talk about death.
Yeah.
Yeah. Death. Specifically, fictional deaths that rocked our worlds.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, this is a great topic.
Spoilers ahead, listeners. We are going to spoil things. So I think to be safe, what we should do is each time we're bringing up an example, we should first talk about the property, the book, the TV, or the film, and say what we're about to spoil, and that way people can skip ahead if they want to.
Yeah, I accidentally spoiled something for Alex because he came in while I have a separate doc where I was typing out my answers, and I was sitting there chatting with him, and he goes, oh, so-and-so dies? I didn't know that. And I was like, why are you looking at my screen?
Yeah, I was like, well, that's it. He came in and read your screen.
I know. He was like, to be fair, you were just minding your own business. Damn it. I was like, I'm so sorry.
Drive-by spoilers.
Yeah. Sorry, man.
But that's on him.
Yeah.
So yeah. So these could be examples from TV, film, or books. And we're going to break them down into a few different categories, starting with deaths that were totally earned and awesome.
Yes.
So I have 3 that came to mind. How many do you have?
I have 2. Okay. And I have probably going to tell one that I forgot about and I'm going to be like, oh my God. So,
maybe.
That's typically what happens.
So I'm going to go in order of most recent to least recent.
Okay.
The first one is from Agatha All Along, the Marvel television series from the end of last year that was amazing. Did you end up watching it?
I haven't watched it yet. We finally got Disney Plus because we were not subscribed to it for ever and a half. So I have it. I just haven't binged it yet. But yeah, it's fine. You can spoil it. I'm not going to make you not say something.
You can choose to stop listening for a few seconds if you want.
It's fine.
And I don't remember the character's name, but I know it's played by Patti LuPone. Her character's exit from the show.
Yeah.
Let's say. Totally earned and awesome. an amazing moment of television.
Is it like a character that you just hated? So when they exited, you were just like, yes. Or was it just one of those good deaths? Okay.
It's just a really good death.
Okay. Nice.
In the context of that story. I mean, nice. And in the context of the story, things are woobly wobbly. So like, we're pretty sure they're dead.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. But I always love that.
You know,
they could come back or something.
So, because like the whole thing is sort of a fantasy adventure, so it's like, well,
yeah.
I mean, you know, Marvel.
Yeah, I was going to say Marvel.
They find ways to bring people back all the time, so we're pretty sure she's gone.
Parallel universe, but, like she could just hop back in.
Yeah, so. her end in at least that series was epic, awesome. I think totally earned. And even though I was sad that she would not continue to the final couple episodes,
mm-hmm.
I was really, really blown away by that episode in particular.
Nice.
So when you watch it, you'll have to let me know what you think.
Okay, awesome.
All right, what's one of yours?
Okay, so mine is from Game of Thrones.
Yep.
I think everyone's seen it, so if I spoil something, you're like one of the handful of people who didn't want to deal with it. But Joffrey from Game of Thrones, when he died, I think it was like a national... Did you watch the show? Were you into it at all?
Yes, I was... Okay. I am now married. I was then dating somebody who was very into the show. That was a Jon show.
Gotcha.
But I watched it. I watched, and I know about Joffrey's death. Yes.
Yeah. That was one of those, like, in the books, it was great. And on the show, it was great. And like, it was probably the most celebrated character death nationwide when it happened. Like, I came into work and people were in great moods because that kid finally just bit it and died. And so it was just one of those, like, story-wise, fantastic, but also the ripple effect that it had was so great because we talked about it forever. It's still referenced. It's still a meme, even mm-hmm. though nobody likes the show anymore. It's still a thing. So
right. Yeah,
that's one of my favorites because like everyone hated that character. He just sucked and he died in like the best way. So yeah, top tier gold star.
And you have no shortage of deaths to choose from.
Right.
In
yeah.
In
that
Thrones.
Show. My God. But yeah, that one was just like, yes.
Nobody
Bravo.
Was safe.
No.
No. No. All right. My next one is going to be also from the Marvel Universe.
Okay.
This one from Avengers Endgame.
Okay.
And spoiler coming in 3, 2, 1, Tony Stark at
That's
the end
a good one.
Of Avengers
yeah.
Endgame.
That's a very good one.
Totally earned. Still very sad. Like these are both still very sad deaths. But the way his character kicked off the whole MCU and then at the end of that cycle mm-hmm. was the one to have to sacrifice himself to save everybody else.
Yeah.
Including his wife and daughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that
so
scene
well
too.
Done.
Yeah, it was good. Like when she was like, you can rest now. I was like, oh, mm-hmm. like that's a great ending.
Yeah.
And you know, speaking of Marvel, like Captain America, like that's a great death. I could have jotted down of him, like, mm-hmm. you know, going back in time, deciding not to become who, or, you know, take on the mantle. So he just got to live his life and die mm-hmm. an old man. It's a great death.
Yeah.
So yeah, kind of piggybacking off of that. Those, both of their deaths, I think, are... Well, Tony sacrificed himself, so it has a little bit more weight. But yeah, Captain being able to live his life is also a really good one.
Right. Yeah. Okay, what's your next one?
So the other one I had, did you ever watch Breaking Bad?
I didn't.
Okay.
But I'm up to... I never will. I never
okay.
will watch that show.
Gotcha.
Too dark
okay.
for me.
Gotcha. It is. It's very dark. But there is the main bad guy of... Oh, man. I don't remember what season he was on, but Gus Fring is the name of the bad guy. He's basically like this cool kingpin drug smuggler guy who is just one of the best well-written characters because he's so menacing and very mm-hmm. good at his job. You know what I mean? So the way he goes out in the show was a mix of very justified, really cool, and kind of bittersweet because I was sad to see him go, even though he was very much the villain.
Right.
But he ends up getting like blown up because of this one person who he doubled, like who also was like a bad, awful drug dude. He like betrayed him in the 11th hour. Then the guy ends up like having a stroke and he's like this old man in a wheelchair, so he can't really do much. But he got one of his like henchmen to rig a bomb to his wheelchair and set it off right as Gus Fring like came to mock him for like losing everything. And there's a moment where Gus realizes right before it goes off what's about to happen. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and he like tries to jump up and then everything blows up. And it's just like such a cool death scene.
Nice.
And it like everything just kind of coming to that moment. I was like, that's so cool. And it's one of those things that just lingers as like one of the, like, that was one of the things that immediately came to mind when I was like answering this question. But yeah, it's really good death.
Yeah, sometimes having the villain go in a really satisfying way is like, you're making me think of Dexter. Did you ever watch Dexter? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert coming, 3, 2, 1. The third season, the Trinity Killer.
Yes.
John Lithgow's character. Like when he finally gets it after killing his wife. It's like, yeah.
Damn.
That was satisfying.
When it really was. That's a good death for sure. That was a
good death, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was not my third one. My third and final one for this conversation, at the very least, goes all the way back to my childhood.
Okay.
I can hear the dulcet tones of Steven Tyler singing in my ear, even as I say the name Armageddon.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah. So again, don't remember the character's name, but Bruce Willis's character, Liv Tyler's dad, in the movie, there are two teams of astronauts going to blow up these asteroids that are about to hit Earth, and they're unable, like, it doesn't work on their first pass, and so one of the two teams is going to have to, like, fly into the asteroid and, like, light up a nuclear bomb inside of it, killing themselves, and him, like, for his daughter, he sacrifices himself, but also one of the guys on the other team is the man his daughter's in love with. And so he won't let him sacrifice himself. He wants his daughter to be happy with the man she loves. And he goes and along with his team. Actually, I think, does he do it by himself in that one?
I think he does it by himself, if I'm remembering it right. One. Yeah.
Yeah. So he just stays behind and does it on his own, saving his team.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Great. Good hero death for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great one. Although I maintain I prefer Deep Impact. Of those two movies about asteroids that came out in the same year.
Isn't that wild? How like we'd have like very key disaster films like for a little while. Yeah. It's wild.
I prefer Deep Impact. Armageddon's fine. I think it's mostly because that fucking song. That song was on so much. I ended up hating it. And like now I can't see those yellow jump or those orange jumpsuits, those astronaut suits without that song coming into my head. And I'm like, I hate this. I hate this.
Yeah.
Stupid song.
Oh, God.
Yeah. All right. So their next category is deaths that we begrudgingly accept moved the narrative forward.
Yes.
So we get it. We understand.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean we're happy about it, but
correct.
Like, we understand. So I have two examples of this.
I have three.
Great. You start.
Okay. So I'm going to spoil something very important for the Locked Tombs trilogy. So if you've never read that, even though I talk about it all the time, skip ahead because this is a big one and it will change your experience. So Gideon from Gideon the Ninth dies in the first book. It needed to happen. I understood. I'm still a little grumpy about it, but it's fine. You know what I mean? Like, it's fine. It's fine. I think it's going to work out. But like, I remember texting Jess when it happened. It was like, that's not what happened, right? Like,
right.
She's like, it'll be okay. And I was like, oh my God. Like, but like, as I kept reading, I was like,
the worst thing you could have said to me.
No, exactly. It's like, this isn't the answer I wanted, man. So, but yeah, as I kept reading, I was like, okay, I get why she needed to die. It makes sense, but fuck you. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
still good. Still worth still reading, good. But Jesus Christ. Yeah. Cause she's my favorite, like my favorite character, but it's okay. Yeah. What about you? What's your example?
So spoiler alert coming. And again, who listens to this podcast and doesn't know about Wolf Song? Spoiler alert for Wolf Song.
There
are two parental deaths in Wolf Song. Both of them I despise, one a little more than the other, but both I believe are earned and drive the story forward in a way that it couldn't have if they lived. So the first being Thomas Bennett, who dies in an attack, and then also Ox's mom, Maggie, who dies during a separate attack.
Yes.
That family was really getting it.
That was my number two. So I was like, I'm pretty sure both of us are going to have this on here. So that I totally get it. Moves the plot forward. Important for character growth for everybody. But fuck you.
Fuck you, man.
Yeah, that was the part that made me like ugly sob in my car at work. I was just listening to that because it's beautifully written. I've listened to the audiobook, so of course it hit way harder. And so, yeah, fuck that scene forever, but also it's beautiful.
Yeah, especially the Maggie one.
Yeah. Oh, God, like, that one sucked.
There's just something about the fact that like like Thomas almost seemed to make a choice.
Right.
About it, whereas Maggie was truly taken.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that was gut-wrenching. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But begrudgingly, we get it. We get it. Yeah, okay, well then, I guess sure. What's your third? And then I'll do my second one.
Okay, so my third one is from BoJack Horseman, which is an animated series.
Yeah.
Fantastic. It will spoil something kind of important, so just as a heads up.
If it helps you, I know exactly what you're about to say, and I've never watched the show, because it's like referenced often enough.
Really?
As a like poignant and important moment from the show.
Okay, so.
I think, if I'm right.
I assume it's probably Sarah Lynn.
Well, I don't know any of their names.
Okay. It's a pop star that dies that was close with BoJack. They worked together on the show and she kind of grew up alongside him, or he was already an adult, but she grew up with him. Right. She spirals, ends up.
It's a drug overdose,
It's a drug overdose. But yes. The way that they did it was great. It was heartbreaking. It was sad. I didn't see it coming, even though they were having this hardcore bender the entire time, but it was done in such a way that it was layered with a lot of comedy and a lot of really heavy moments. And then, yeah, she just dies. And of course, he handles it bad. It changes the course of his story. So even though she was a complicated character that you kind of don't like through most of it, she gets way more humanized towards the end of her story. So when she finally does go out, you're like, oh, damn. Like, even though she kind of knew she was probably going to burn out way, way sooner before most people.
Right.
Still sucked. But it also, like, bent BoJack in a way that, like, his story definitely takes a turn at that point. But, yeah, it's fantastic. Really well done. And sad. But it needed to happen for the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. My second one is from Big Hero 6. So for those who haven't seen that Marvel/Disney movie property, the animated movie, the person that dies is the main character's brother, Tadashi.
Mm-hmm.
And it definitely has to happen to move the story forward. And like in a lot of Disney movies, when there's somebody has to die at the beginning to like move the story forward, I was like, I get this, but I'm not happy about it.
Right.
I'm not happy that this character had to, like, couldn't he be in a coma?
Right.
Did he have to die?
Yeah, or shit, have him move away. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, just why do you have to kill off parents and cool siblings? Stop it. Knock it off.
So yeah, that one, as much as I get it.
Yeah.
Still, because I'll go back and rewatch that movie from time to time. And every time it's just like, do we have to? And he dies in the most tragic way because he's trying to save other people.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you find out at the end of the movie that like the thing that kills him was like somebody planned it.
Yeah.
And so like.
Yeah, it was preventable.
Like, it could totally have not preventable. Happened.
Yeah.
It was totally preventable. It was only supposed to damage property. Nobody was still supposed to be in the building. There was no need for him to go back in.
Yeah. Ugh. So heartbreaking.
So yeah. Okay. The final category is deaths that just sucked and we're still mad about it.
Yeah. I have two, and I stopped myself at two because
the list could go on.
The list could go on. And so, yeah. And I also slight disadvantage here because I don't like sad movies or movies that I know are going to be tragic. So I had a small pool, but I felt very strongly about a lot of things. So I was like, I'm going to pick two that I don't know, rose to the surface, and then I'm just going to stop there. So,
okay. Yeah. Fair enough. All right. Well, I will start with a spoiler for Downton Abbey.
Okay.
Specifically season 3. If there are people who are just on season 2 and don't want to find out what goes on in season 3.
Right.
But in season 3 of Downton Abbey, there were two actors who wanted to leave the show. Mm-hmm. And the creator decided the only way that they could possibly leave was to kill them off.
Oh, okay.
One was one of the three sisters, Sybil, who dies in childbirth.
Yikes.
And then it was like an episode like 4 or 5 of the season, and it came out of nowhere. And like,
dang,
I remember I watched it with my friend Christy because she was illegally downloading them after they aired in England before they came to the US.
Oh my God.
And I like, we were a fucking wreck. Like, we were just sobbing because she already lived, like, she'd already kind of left the show. Like, she and her husband had moved to Ireland and like, there was no, like, it was just like, oh, she's back to have her baby. Okay.
Yeah. And so they could have just ended it to where she just left and it could have been fine, but they decided to bring her back to kill her off.
Well, and in doing so, they were able to keep her husband on the show, and he was a pretty interesting and good looking character. So I have a feeling, and he probably didn't want to leave the show, and therefore we had to figure out a way to have him there and her not. And it's like, so she had to die. And then at the end of that season, again, right after a childbirth, Matthew, one of the main characters from the whole series, is in a car accident and dies right after his child is born.
What is, like, are babies cursed in Downton Abbey?
I guess. Lord. So yeah, his child is born. He visits his wife at the hospital. Mm-hmm. And then as he's driving home, like a horse cart is suddenly there where it wasn't expected. And he goes off the road and is killed.
Oh, oof.
And it's again, sad. We were like, it was not known that was going to happen. Which is actually reminding me of another one that's probably more from the last category.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert for The Good Wife, coming in 3, 2, 1. Will Gardner's character dies. When you don't know that the actor has been negotiating to leave the show and all of a sudden there's an episode and they're dead. It's like, what? And they're like a main character. It's like, what happened?
Yeah.
And like, and there's a part of you that's like, oh, okay, they're not really dead. Like, yes, we see them bleeding in a ditch with their eyes open and not breathing and all of that. Or like, yes, we saw him turning blue on a gurney in an emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, but they'll bring him back. And then, but then like the news stories break. So like, this is why so-and-so wanted to leave the show. And you're like, fuck, that sucks.
I just want to be like, y'all know divorces happen, right? Like you could have just had somebody leave. Well, not in the world of
Downton Abbey.
I guess not.
I mean, I guess it was.
They could have run away.
They had just gotten together after a couple seasons of hating each other. So it was like one of those things. But it's like, all right, both of those happened in season 3. They were both out of nowhere. I'm still just mad about them.
Yeah.
So that's my first one for Downton Abbey, for deaths that just sucked and I'm still mad about it.
Yeah, those are justified. That sounds sad and heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like shitting on writers, but bad writing? I don't know. Like, why did you have... You could have not killed them, guys. Like, you could have figured it something else.
I get that it's tough because they're literally members of the family.
Yeah.
Like, where do they go that we never hear from them again?
Yeah, I guess you that's know? True. I'm, like, mad on your behalf, though. Like, I'm just...
But it really was like, what the hell is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems a little vindictive. Like, they may want to leave the show now, and I'm going to make it so they can't ever come back.
Oof. Yeah, I guess it's final, so I hope they didn't have a change of heart later.
You have to go. So yeah. All right, what's your death that sucked and you're still mad about it?
Okay, so this is not going to probably surprise anyone who's ever seen the movie, but spoiler for My Girl, a very old movie. Yeah, so I had to go back and find the character's name because I had scrubbed it from my memory, but I remember watching this as a kid, and when Thomas Sinnott, Macaulay Culkin's character, dies, ruined me. And like, when I was a kid, I don't think I had the emotional spectrum to really care about most things on screen. Like, I would watch Land Before Time, and like Littlefoot's mom would die, and I was like, oh no, she got eaten. You're like, it's fine. But like, now watching that, I would be wrecked. I can't watch that movie now. But like, when I was a kid, I got so attached to those two characters. So when he died, it just ruined me. And I will never watch it again, because I know if I watch it now, I would be crying for a week. You know what I mean? Like, it's... Yeah. Really well done. I went and saw a clip the other day. Like, I guess my algorithm is against me or something, because I saw the way they shot it and I remembered her going back to find his glasses and stuff. It sucked. It was such a sad death. And because it's a movie and self-contained, I'm sure it probably like helps her character and stuff. But to me, little me, I could not understand why they would do that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it just was like, how could you? This character, he was so great and they were best friends and now she's heartbroken. I hate bees. It's like, death just kicked my ass and I'm still mad about it, even though it's probably beautiful and wonderful, but I'm sticking up for a little kid me who cried for a long time over that movie.
I agree. I also have to remove Littlefoot's mom from my list.
I almost put that on here, and Alex was like, you have a lot of animals on here. And I was like, damn it. So I trimmed it down. Yeah, no, that one's, I think, just everybody said about that one.
I actually have a backup, so I'm still going to have 3.
Okay.
But Littlefoot's mom was on my list of deaths that I just thought sucked. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, they all could have just wandered away, or they could have been separated.
Yeah, they could have gotten lost.
She didn't have to die.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now as an adult. Traumatized as a child by both of those movies.
Yeah. Well, I think when I was a kid, I was more willing to be that's nature. Cause I had a lot of animal books. So, and I think back in the 90s, they were way more cavalier with just showing animals getting gutted. Cause I remember reading that stuff all the time. So when I saw Little Fitz's mom die, I was like, that's too bad because if you put sharp tooth, got to eat. So it's fine. Now I'm like, oh my God, not a little baby dinosaur. So yeah, just kids being psychopaths, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. It didn't register when I was a kid.
Their brain grooves hadn't developed enough yet.
Exactly. Yeah.
Smooth brained little fuckers.
Yeah. Mean little Maz. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Next up is from one of, I talk about this series from time to time because I think it's one of my most underrated series that I've narrated. But it's Jeff Adams' Codename Winger series. So spoiler alert coming for the fourth book in that series.
Okay.
His Uncle John dies in the opening scene of that book in such a gory and upsetting way that the first time I read it, I was like, no, this can't be real. He's going to wake up from a dream. Or the whole premise of this book is that somebody attached a thing to his brain and now he's living nightmares or something.
God, yeah.
It was real. It's terrible.
No.
I'm not even spoiling that much. Obviously I'm spoiling the fact that he dies, but it happens very early in that book.
Yeah.
And he's very much a side character. So you can still enjoy the whole series even knowing that. And then the rest of the fourth book unfolds in pretty wild fashion. But it definitely ups the ante for the whole thing. But still, I was like, Jeff, you did not need to do this. And because we were friends, I was able to actually message him and be like, Jeff.
Yeah.
We did not have to go there. But we
didn't need to make it so heartbreaking.
Yeah, but we did. So that's my second one.
Okay.
What's yours?
My last one, because otherwise it would just be more animals, is, and I didn't do research on this one, but the Neverending Story in the Swamp of Sadness.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, but I think anybody who's our age has seen this and is equally traumatized. But the kid with his horse in the quicksand.
Yep.
Unnecessary. Yep. Fuck that. It did not help the character growth. That horse could have still been his right-hand man and his best friend throughout the movie, and they still could have gotten into adventures and everything. Mm-hmm. Didn't need to die. But it was he was so helpless, and he's crying, and the horse is sinking, and it just took way too long. You know what I mean? It was just...
yeah.
It probably isn't really. But yeah, but as a kid, I was like, this is a torture scene. It just went on forever of this horse slowly sinking, and this kid's just heartbreaking, and it just... it sucks. Worst death ever. Fucking hate it.
Yeah.
So yeah. Yeah. That's my
animal other death one. Otherwise, is hard. Especially a horse, which is often portrayed as so loyal and
smart.
Useful and they live a long time. So you can have them for a good chunk of your lifetime and then they die. Oh, even when you don't know the horses. We're too cavalier with horse death in movies. Cause especially war movies or medieval movies, horses are dying left and right. And it's these poor horses.
Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't do anything.
I get the same way. And this is just, I think, us being terrible, but people getting blown up in war movies, I'm just it's a war movie. But if a horse dies, I'm like, the horse didn't want to be there.
Right. Exactly.
He fucking with the horse. So yeah.
Agreed. Agreed. Okay. So this is very niche. My final one. So for the small crossover audience from my musical fans.
Okay.
On the NBC television show Smash, in season 2, they introduced two new characters. One of them is a young writer. The other one is a young composer. And at the almost end of the season, which ended up being the end of the series, the writer steps into traffic and gets run over by a bus.
God. Just suddenly? Just taken down?
Yep.
Jesus.
Very suddenly, very out of nowhere. And except for the very beautiful song that results in the next episode after his death, I mostly found it to be totally unnecessary and I'm still mad about it. But this is why I bring it up. So Smash also was just adapted into a Broadway musical.
Okay.
And they just opened. And the actor who played the character on television is also a Broadway actor and is friends with, the people who are on the Broadway show. So I'm going to send you a photo of what he wore to opening night.
Okay.
Of Smash the Musical on Broadway.
That's great.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. That's... So it's Andy, the actor is Andy Mientis, and he is wearing a beige colored suit with tire tracks across the front.
What an icon. That's.
I loved it. So, I mean, I hated the death.
Yeah.
But if it made,
good job.
It made that worth it.
Yeah.
In a crazy world where like 10, 12 years later, they adapted it into a stage musical and he's invited and he's there on the red carpet and he's like wearing this suit with tire tracks across the front.
I feel like that suit could almost justify it moving up to a two, like the
right.
begrudgingly
it almost
accepted.
Makes it a number two. Yeah. Instead of a useless one that I'm still mad about. But
yeah.
Narratively for the show, I was like, well, that was dumb.
That was dumb, but
we didn't need that. We didn't need it.
Good job, sir.
But so those are examples of deaths that were either awesome and earned, or we begrudgingly accept them, or they just suck. Before we go, I thought we would talk a little bit about how character death plays into our own work. Mm-hmm. So like, as an author, how do you decide if a character needs to bite it?
So it has to justify character growth. Like if you've got death in there for shock value, it's never going to be good. I mean, maybe that's just me being subjective on it, but I can usually tell if it's shock value or if it's something that is pushing the narrative forward or helping with character growth or something. Mm-hmm. But if you're just killing things off just to get me to be upset or to get me mad about something, it's not a good story. And you're basically just poking your readers for no reason. So if you can justify it in a way that it's helping a character make a turning point, or they've sacrificed themselves or something like that, that's great. Just make their death be worth it. Make it important. Otherwise, I don't see why you would even do that. So that's how I come across it. Like I'm precious. I don't like killing off characters a lot. So Jess is usually the one that's like, you know, if you really wanted to like push this character in a way you want to or something, if you had so-and-so die here or something, it would really bump the story up because it would make this part more impactful or whatever. And I usually tell her to go fuck off because I hate it. But then if I actually like think about it, I'm like, she's right. Right. So we'll go through drafts and see if it makes sense. Mm-hmm. And usually it does. Or I think maybe one time I floated the idea of a death and she was like, okay, yeah, let's make it work. Typically it's Jess's fault, but at this point I think we could both share the blame. But yeah, that's how I come approach it anyway. What about for you? As a narrator, what is it like to portray a character's death?
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah? Is it really?
Yeah, because it's like one of those big, like often sad, dramatic moments. Like, yeah, as an actor, playing a death scene is great. Love
it. That's kind of awesome, actually.
Even if like the reader part of my brain is like, I'm not happy that this is happening, the narrator part of my brain is like, this is going to be so much fun.
That's kind of like, fantastic.
You know, also like angsty, bringing people to tears is sort of like my wheelhouse. So when one of those comes along, I'm like,
hell yeah. This. Do you have a favorite one that like that comes to memory that you did that you're just like, hell yeah, this is like a good performance. I liked it.
Not that comes to mind.
Okay.
I mean, I guess I sort of tip my hat that like Thomas and Maggie were very vivid in my memory.
Yeah, they're stuck in mine, so.
But no, it's more just that feeling of like, ooh, yay. And the thing is like, I don't care if it's even like a side character or like we only met them a couple chapters before, like I'm going in and I'm feeling it and like I'm crying in the booth and like everybody's having a grand awful time.
A great time.
A great time. But it is. It's great fun to play a death scene, regardless of who it is or it's even if I don't love that it's happening in the narrative of the story, it's just like, today's going to be a fun day because somebody's going to die.
That's awesome. That's so cool. I thought you were going to be like, oh, it's hard because, you know, I got to mine some stuff. But you're like, oh, fuck that.
No.
Great. I'm having a great time.
Love that. So,
you need more sad books, I guess. People need to write more tragedies in your way.
I need more sad books. I think that's sort of my MO. But I do like big dramatic moments like that.
Sweet.
So, well, that's all for this week. If you are interested in finding out more about what we've got going on, make sure you're following us on social media, or you can check our website, hoofandfangpodcast.com. And we are still accepting new members over at the Patreon. Mm-hmm. You just won't be charged until the next cycle in May. So
correct.
You can still join and get all the updates. And you can join as a free member as well. And you can get our podcast through that app or wherever you get podcasts. So all of that's available to you. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will be back next week.
See you then.